Hello there, you Awakening Wonders on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you download your podcasts. We really appreciate you, our listeners, and want to bring you more content. We will be delivering a podcast every day, 7 days a week. Every single day, you'll get a detailed breakdown of current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. But if they are covering, they're amplifying establishment messages and not telling you the truth. Once a week, we bring you in-depth conversations with guests like Jordan Peterson, RFK Jr., Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate, and many more. Now enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Remember, there's an episode every single day to educate and elevate our consciousness together. Stay free and enjoy the episode.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining me today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. And what an endeavour it is indeed to stay free these days with TikTok being colonised by establishment forces. Unless Rumble get their way and acquire it. We know now that the next presidential election will be Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. We kind of knew that anyway. The Pope is being condemned for being anti-war and Haiti is being run by a criminal gang called the Clinton Foundation, who for many years have been exploiting Haiti. And you ain't going to believe this. Guess who told us in 2016 that Haiti had been appallingly mistreated? Let me know in the chat. Win yourself a hat, as I always say. That's what we say around our house. Answer in the chat, you get yourself a hat. There's some brilliant people in the Rumble chat right now. You can win one. If you're answering us in Rumble, you have to get in touch by email as well, okay, for us to get the hat to you. But if you're an awakened wonder in our locals community, where you get additional content every week, just answer, yeah, Dragonfire, you've got it. You're the first one, Dragonfire. You will be sent one of these hats absolutely free of charge. As well, Dragonfire, you will get to see our video on displacement theory. Is it true that globalist elites around the world want to start wars and then destabilize native populations through mass migration? We're going to talk about that stuff. We're going to talk about it. We've got to come to solutions, because this is the time when we are going to face globalist establishment. We're going to create a global movement that's decentralized. But I'll tell you, we won't be traveling from nation to nation on a Boeing. Oh, man, you've got any vacations or holidays booked? Have you seen Boeings? They can't keep these things in the sky. They can't keep the doors bolted on. We've got a fantastic presentation coming up. And if you're watching us on YouTube, you are not going to want to miss it. We'll be on YouTube for the first 15 minutes. But hey, eventually, we got to wallow in that sweet stream of freedom that Rumble affords us. It ain't about hate speech, it's about free speech. Free speech is everything. That's why later, and exclusively on Rumble, we're going to be talking about the new law in the UK that means that puberty blockers will no longer be prescribed. You better believe that's only something that we'll be discussing on Rumble. Make sure you've downloaded that app. We've got so many fantastic things to talk about. Wait till you find out what the Clinton Foundation have been in Haiti. Wait till you find out what Clinton did to that nation while president of the United States of America. Were you watching me, Jim? Jim, are you watching me, baby? Jim, are you watching? Jim, look at me. Look at me, Jim. Look at that, Jim. That's it, right, Jim? Jim, look at me. Keep going. Keep going. That's it, Jim. Nice one. Well done, mate. That's the stuff. That's the stuff. If you are at home and you're called Jim, don't panic. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Jim, who's working here. Hey, let's get Dan in here and get that video done and sent out right now, baby. Let's keep going. Warrior of Life Forgot. I'm not reading any of your comments. They're all always absolutely bloody crazy. We ain't doing that. We ain't getting involved with any of your crazy stuff. So, listen, we know now what the presidential election is going to be between. It's going to be Trump versus Biden. And we know that Biden's team have got a great new catchphrase. Here
Mr.
it is.
Mr. Hurt caused quite the stir last month.
No, that's not it.
Oh. Mr. Hurt caused quite the stir last month when he cited the president's memory lapses as cause for not bringing charges against the president. Joe Biden, he concluded, was a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
That's where I would have come in just on that one. Negligent Banana, thank you for sending me support right there. Appreciate it, guys. Hey, if you're watching this elsewhere, get over to Rumble. It's where the good stuff happens. Keep going. So, gang rule continues in Haiti.
This morning, Haiti descending further into chaos. After over a week of some of the worst violence the country has seen, the Prime Minister of Haiti overnight announcing his plans for resignation, releasing this video statement urging calm for the people of Haiti, saying he and his team will resign after the transitional consul is created. The resignation coming the same day leaders of the Caribbean nations held an emergency meeting over the crisis in Jamaica. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken flew down to meet with the leaders, saying earlier Monday that Haitians cannot wait any longer for a path to security, stability, and democracy.
What we've seen in recent days again should remind us that the already challenging and difficult security situation is now deteriorated even further.
Instability has worsened in Haiti since the 2021 assassination of then Prime Minister.
What's amazing is when you see legacy media tell you a story about Haiti, they do not include significant details that we'll be talking about in some length. In a minute, we're going to be talking about the involvement of the Clinton Foundation. We're going to be talking about the way that Bill Clinton, while president of the United States of America, slashed tariffs to ensure that Haiti's agriculture was fundamentally destroyed. Now, look at the agricultural movement across the world right now and how centralized edicts are similarly attempting to destroy agriculture in Germany, the Netherlands, across the world. Agriculture is being destroyed. Why? Because if you can control your own food, they cannot fully control you. Is that true? Do you think that's true? I tell you, what they're having to go at desperate lengths to eat in Haiti. That much is true, because some people are accusing the new Haitian leadership of cannibalism, but it turns out that's not true. The Haiti cannibal story is total nonsense. Maybe they thought it could work because there's a guy named Barbecue. He does look like a badass. The US has been pushing for a new intervention in Haiti for a while now. Beware of this propaganda, especially nonsense as fake as this. Maybe one of the reasons that cannibalism is being considered is because they can't grow rice there anymore, because Bill Clinton ensured that it became logistically impossible for their arable land to be deployed to grow food for the native population. You won't see that on the legacy media. You will see it on this show. You won't see it anywhere on TikTok if the establishment get their way and are able to force an acquisition of TikTok. It's been pointed out that this is, of course, ultimately a propagandist move. Let's see Tucker's post first to set the idea up. So I guess that's eight. I'm going to take a risk and go eight. So in a classified briefing this afternoon, attended by officials from the Biden Justice Department, AOC claimed that Elon committed election interference in 2022 by changing the algorithms on X to alter the results of the midterms. Okay. Not coincidentally, the anti-TikTok legislation now being debated on the Hill would allow the federal government to force the sale of any social media platform that interferes in elections, just so you know what's coming in 2025. This ain't about TikTok. This is about free speech. Isn't everything about free speech? Let's go back. So is it five? Six. Let me see. Right. Controversial free speech site Rumble wants to buy and operate TikTok in the US to stop Congress from banning the Chinese-owned app. Now, you know, when I was being attacked by the establishment, Rumble stepped right up. And once again, it is Rumble that's advocating for free speech. In particular, they're in a powerful position to do this now because of their new cloud technology. The American company Rumble has offered to buy TikTok to prevent the Chinese-owned app from a nationwide ban. A letter from Rumble CEO Chris Pavlovsky surfaced on the company's X page Tuesday, declaring his online platform, video platform, is ready to acquire and operate TikTok in the US. Pavlovsky stated his case further by explaining they could store data safely and securely with the new cloud service, which, by the way, you guys can get a deal on. Not difficult for me to promote the old company agenda on this one, because it's ultimately an agenda that's aligned with free speech. Let's have a look at that letter. There it is. It's sort of a letter that Chris Pavlovsky made public. And it's ultimately a sentiment that you have to agree with, isn't it? It's ultimately for guys you're watching. Let's have a look at this from Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey, I think Glenn Greenwald may have reposted this. The so-called TikTok ban is a Trojan horse. The president will be given power to ban websites, not just apps. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be the US or offshore internet hosting service or app store, not the foreign adversary. So he's breaking down the bits of the bill here. And it's interesting because, in a sense, I compare this piece of bureaucratic manipulation to what's happening with a WHO treaty at the moment. The WHO treaty, because of pushback from people like you, has been reformed, but still includes important aspects that will allow them to censor and control us in ways that are unprecedented. That's something that we'll also be covering a little bit later. We asked you who you'd like to be in charge of TikTok a little earlier. Have a look at that. There it is, Rumble. A resounding 90% of you would prefer Rumble to be running TikTok rather than the US government or the Chinese government. So if you're a member of the Awakened Wonder community, you can watch much of our additional content exclusively on Locals. Here's a little look at that. If I got 11 on this board, guys, on the thing.
The Great Replacement Theory.
Great Replacement Theory.
Great Replacement Theory.
The idea that mass migration is an attempt by globalist elites to destabilize native populations. Here we will discuss whether or not migration is an issue, as it seems to be in the United States of America, the ethics of the subject of immigration, and we'll be looking at the idea that the elites, as we'll call them, are continually benefiting by pitting ordinary poor people from countries around the world and domestic populations against one another in a classic divide and conquer mentality that has prevailed since the advent of imperialism.
There you go, something to consider. That's available now for our Awaken Wonder community. We're going to talk about Kate Middleton's mysterious disappearance later this week and chemtrails. We'll talk about subjects that you care about that are difficult to cover in mainstream spaces because they are controversial, but absolutely fascinating. What I would say is an extraordinary story that you will see covered in the mainstream, but from a peculiar perspective, is that the Pope appeared to advocate for peace. The Pope, Christ's representative on earth, if you are a follower of the Catholic faith, and whoever you are, you would surely agree, in spite of the controversies that have surrounded the Vatican, that surely the function of any spiritual leader is to advocate for peaceful solutions. Is it? I don't know. Let me know in the chat, guys. He has said that in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, peace or be sought. Let's have a look at this story. And what I think's extraordinary about it is that the Pope is getting quite a lot of pushback for advocating for peace.
Pope Francis's words in an interview where he used the term white flag have continued to generate a wave of reactions from Ukraine. The Vatican has already clarified that the Pope was referring to the concept used by the interviewer and that Pope Francis was not insinuating that Ukraine should surrender, but rather that they should negotiate for peace.
That seems reasonable, doesn't it? But are we not entering extraordinary times where the Pope cannot be exempted from this hysteria for ongoing war when mentioning diplomatic solutions or even peace? Let me know what you think about that in the Awakened Wonder chat. Dumballer, Gina shares. Let me know what you think, Mandy Jansen or Bell Star. We'll be talking a little bit later about you. Our Boeing story, you're going to love it. It's one of the funniest things we've done for a long, long time, even though it involves lobbying. As you know, Boeing are the fourth largest weapons manufacturer in the world. It involves badly made airplanes and the suspicious death of a whistleblower. It's still pretty funny. Not those aspects of it, but aspects of the story you're going to love. Now that we live in extraordinary times where the Pope cannot talk about peace without receiving attacks from the establishment. Let's have a look at this in a little more depth.
Even so, many public figures have spoken out on the matter. Ukrainian President Zelensky, without specifically naming Francis, alluded to the white flag in his video. The message was published a day after the Pope's interview.
Russian murderers and torturers do not go deeper into Europe, only because they're stopped by Ukrainians with weapons in hand and under the blue and yellow flag. In Ukraine, there used to be many white walls of houses and churches that are now scorched and ruined by Russian weapons.
Zelensky thanked Christians, Jews, and Muslims for their presence since the beginning of the war, but he added a few words that could be addressed to Francis.
I thank all Ukrainian chaplains who are with the army and the defense forces. They are on the front line, protecting life and humanity, supporting with prayer, conversation, and deeds. This is what the church does, being with the people, not 1,500 miles away, somewhere virtually mediating between someone who wants to live and someone who wants to destroy you.
What happened in that country when there was a proposed treaty or peace deal between Putin and Zelensky, then Boris Johnson, presumably at the behest of his partners in the American military-industrial complex globalist state machine, scuppered that proposal for peace. That could have ended this madness a couple of years ago. Have any of us, who has benefited primarily? Have Russia benefited in the intervening years? Have Ukraine benefited in the intervening years? Has BlackRock benefited in the intervening years? Have Raytheon? Have both? Who has benefited? Let me know in the Rumble chat right now, and let me know why it's so difficult to have those conversations in legacy media spaces.
In Ukraine, the Vatican representative in the country was invited to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to discuss the Pope's statement. From the government, they expressed their disappointment and said that Francis should appeal to the aggressor and not to the victim. Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin also spoke out in an interview. He said the appeal of the Pope does not refer only to Ukraine, but to both sides.
And I mean, it obviously would have to, wouldn't it? Because we're talking about conflict and you have to ultimately, to bring about peace, appeal to both sides. And I suppose, yes, it could be considered that Russia are the aggressor. As we are continually told, it's an unprovoked attack. But when you hear about the actions of NATO in the preceding years, when you hear about CIA involvement in the 2014 coup, those ideas, the idea that this is an unprovoked conflict, seems more difficult to appreciate, to continue to believe. And perhaps most significant when you're talking about advocacy for peace is the fact that Putin has nuclear weapons and has once again said he will use them. They're ready to use nuclear weapons if its sovereignty or independence is threatened. He's confirmed, of course, to Russia, issuing another blunt warning to the West just days before an election in which he's all but certain to secure another six-year term. Putin said that in line with the country's security doctrine, Moscow is ready to use nuclear weapons in case of a threat to the existence of the Russian state. In an apparent reference to NATO allies that support Kiev, he also declared that nations that say they have no red lines regarding Russia should realise that Russia won't have any red lines regarded there. Either. I think that's something that should be contemplated, don't you? Let me know in the chat. It seems to me like a pretty significant component to this story, the potential to escalate it further. And of course, it seems now that cluster bombs, which have always been regarded as a red line, are being deployed, at least sent to Ukraine for, you know, use in this conflict. $300 million arm package is on its way now, in spite of the fact that not long ago, Jen Psaki, in her former and extremely distinct role as a White House spokesperson, said that cluster bombs, when used by Russians, constitute a war crime.
There are reports of illegal cluster bombs and vacuum bombs being used by the Russians. If that's true, what is the next step of this administration? And is there a red line for how much violence will be tolerated against civilians in this manner that's illegal and potentially a war crime?
It would be. I don't have any confirmation of that. We have seen the reports. If that were true, it would potentially be a war crime. Obviously, there are a range of international fora that would assess that. So certainly we would look to that to be a part of that conversation.
So in a sense, there is no clear principle. There is just the ongoing advocacy for a particular agenda. It's interesting that the ongoing war is, of course, connected to, inevitably, additional expenditure. There's a request for 2025 for $895 billion for military spending. Astonishing. Would that kind of expenditure be possible without lobbying on an extraordinary scale? We're going to be talking about Boeing now. You're going to love this story. If you're watching us on YouTube, click the link in the description. Remember, by the way, that you can acquire one of these little darlings for 25% off this week alone. I want to tell you, man, like, this Boeing story is fantastic. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're going to leave in a second. You should consider becoming a member of our Awakened Wonder community. You get additional content all the time. See you in a second. So, you're going to love this. We're talking a little bit later about some very, very complex stories. We're talking about puberty blockers here in the UK and a recent decision that's sort of changing the narrative around that particular story. But now I want to focus on Boeing and their safety and the extraordinary death of a whistleblower. This is the kind of story that makes you wonder, to what extent will the powerful go in order to ensure their agenda is met? If you're watching us on YouTube, click the link in the description now and join us over on Rumble right now. See you in a few seconds. For the rest of you that are here, it seems that Boeing have something extraordinary to hide. John Barnett, a whistleblower, recently died of being in a parking lot, which seems like an extraordinary way to go. Let's have a look at it and see whether or not it's likely that there will be a serious investigation into this. Here's the news. No, here's the effing news.
Here's the fucking news.
A former Boeing employee turned whistleblower has been found dead in suspicious circumstances. Boeing, as you know, are the world's fourth largest weapons contractor who spend millions and millions lobbying the government. And at a time that their share prices are plunging, can we rely on that heavily lobbied government to put passengers ahead of Boeing and to get true justice for this peculiarly dead whistleblower? John Barnett, a 62-year-old man who used to work for Boeing and complained about many of their safety procedures and work practices, has suddenly died of a parking lot, which doesn't seem to be a normal cause of death, does it? I notice how people that criticise the government or powerful corporations that have contracts and relationships with the government often end up dying of parking lots or mysteriously suddenly becoming perverts for a threat to society. I've some experience of stuff like that. So let's have a look at this whistleblower. Let's have a look at Boeing's plunging share price, their relationship where they spend millions and millions lobbying the government to probably ensure that they maintain their lucrative weapons contract while we go to war with basically the world. China, potential war. Iran, potential war. Israel, missile support. Ukraine, constant missile support. Many unwinnable conflicts that are easy wins, in fact, for Boeing. So they don't want people telling the truth, do they? And coincidentally, and I'm saying that this literally, coincidentally, people who criticize Boeing end up dead. That's why I'd like to take this opportunity to say, if you want a missile, I mean, Northrop Grumman are good. Lockheed Martin, they're pretty good as well. But Boeing, mwah, mamma mia. That's a missile I want to see blowing up some little town up around people somewhere. For diversity, though, for diversity.
That's a spicy meatball.
Also, though, we're not out of the capitalism game ourselves. Check this guy out. 25% off this week. Support our movement. Join our movement. Oppose this madness. Let's get into it.
This morning, police in Charleston, South Carolina tell NBC News they are aware of the death of a former Boeing employee turned whistleblower. 62-year-old John Barnett found dead on Friday from what the coroner calls an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
It does seem like very convenient for Boeing that this whistleblower, in the autumn of his life, having retired, decided, you know, oh, I might just turn this bullet on myself now.
Our pets' heads are falling off!
This is my retirement plaque.
Barnett retired from Boeing in 2017 after working as a quality manager for more than 30 years.
What reports are going to come out about John Barnett over the coming days? He was a very sick, dangerous man. He's just showing off his certificates proudly. He's done 30 years of loyal service at Boeing, points out one or two problems at the factory, all of a sudden dying of parking lot. Many people die of parking lot each year. I'm going to just start leaving my car in the middle of the road.
Since his departure, he has taken legal action against the company, claiming he was retaliated against for raising safety issues internally, issues that Boeing denied at the time.
Denied at the time. Subsequently, they've gone, okay, yeah, sure, our airplanes are not as safe as we may have claimed, or as John Barnett claimed. Where is John? Yeah, no, parking lots are very dangerous places.
Back in 2019, Barnett sat down with Today, describing a haphazard safety culture at Boeing.
That's the kind of culture that you want at a company that makes weapons and airplanes. Haphazard. I don't want that if, like, you were making them sort of, like, novelty cupcakes or, like, them things that go, I'm still careful, or you would choke someone. It's like missiles and stuff. I want people to be extremely serious and focus, right, this is a missile, everyone. Just concentrate, right? This is an airplane. aeroplane. People going on holiday in this. Not like, ah, you know, we don't care. Yeah, let's have fun with it. I want to make clear as well that I'm not laughing about the death of John Barnett. It's a very, very serious tragedy. We are using comedy in order to convey to you the extraordinary circumstances of this convenient death for the military-industrial complex. Seems like wars are very convenient for the military-industrial complex, and we have a lot of wars. People that say that the military-industrial complex isn't being run very well, that's not convenient, and they keep dying of parking lot.
From day one, it's just all been about schedule and hurry up and just get it done, push the planes out, we're behind schedule, you know, we don't have time to worry about issues that y'all bring up.
Should be concentrating, shouldn't you? Like when you're making aeroplanes, you should be like, no, hold on, we do have time because, like, thinking about it, if that thing breaks while it's up in the sky, like, hit the ground, gravity, G-force. No, yeah, no, come on, it's worth taking a few extra minutes to make sure the aeroplane works properly.
In 2017, the FAA released a review upholding many of Barnett's concerns.
So he was actually right. So even though they tried to discredit him at the time, oh, John Barnett, he's a lunatic, he's some sort of pervert, probably. He's insane in the membrane. I wouldn't be surprised if he died of parking lot, or walking into a shark tank, or falling on a sword, or his head might just fall off. He was actually correct. A diligent employee, of 3 decades of loyal service, but not loyal enough.
With regards to his sudden death, the company released a statement writing, "We are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends."
And other whistleblowers who might think about making statements or analyses that are detrimental to the business plans of Boeing. Our thoughts are with our plunging share prices, and people should bear in mind that parking lots are very, very dangerous places.
Production standards at Boeing are under intense scrutiny following a series of troubling incidents involving Boeing planes. The latest on Monday when a 787 from the South American airline LATAM apparently dropped abruptly mid-flight from Sydney to Auckland, injuring at least 50 passengers and crew members. The airline says it's unclear what caused the strong movement on the flight.
We should ask John Barnett because he was always saying that there was, what? From a parking lot?
NBC News has also confirmed the Justice Department has launched a criminal investigation into Boeing following the blowout door plug on a 787 MAX 9 in January.
Slightly troubling image there to see an airplane still in flight with its door missing. Of course, one of our concerns would be, and let me know in the chat if you share this concern, that if Boeing, through their work with the military industrial complex, and I'm sure it's all separate departments of Boeing or whatever, but ultimately it's the same stocks and shares, it's the same vested interest, if they are lobbying to the tune of millions every year to get favourable legislation from whatever government's in power, whatever administration's in power, mostly in your country, is it likely that that might impair the Justice Department's ability to properly investigate this? Let me know in the chat. We'll give away a free hat to the best comment. We all remember that during the pandemic period, it's felt like the relationship between Big Pharma and the FDA was possibly compromising. And in the period preceding that, during the opioid crisis and the many lives that were lost, do you think that the relationship between the Sackler family and numerous educational departments and institutions, art galleries, perhaps slowed the process of investigation? I don't know. Let me know in the chat. Fingers crossed, it's not like it's anything important, like wars and vacations and aeroplanes and missiles at stake. It is that.
The NTSB determined the plane left the Boeing plant without critical bolts that hold the plug in place.
Did you put those bolts on the door? I'm pretty much like 50% sure that I put some bolts on something. Okay, well, that's good enough for me. Out you go. Roll about.
A scathing new FAA audit also found Boeing failed to comply with its own quality control procedures.
Ignore your own procedures. We have these procedures in place. Well, that's just an empty hand. Yeah, I've not looked at it for a while, I'll be honest.
We're working with Boeing and demanding that they come up with a very detailed plan within the next 90 days to fix the quality issues that are out there.
That the FAA, so that's the aviation regulator. And I wonder where those guys get their funding from. Won't be any trouble there. I wonder where else he's worked, where else he will work. Oh, man.
So according to a slide presentation that was reviewed by the New York Times.
Ooh, the New York Times. Well, we're fine then. Now, we've got another vassal of the state involved, the New York Times, who are quite happy to report on CIA bases in Ukraine when it's appropriate and convenient to expedite Republican expenditure on the ongoing war, but up until that point, claimed that Putin's attacks on Ukraine were entirely unprovoked. So it's good now. We've got the FAA, we got Boeing, we got the government, and we got the New York Times. Freedom, sweet freedom. Tell what we ain't got, John Barnett. He died of parking lot. I just hope none of these FAA people or New York Times people park their car, travel by subway, because people are heavy armed down there. You'll be pretty safe.
Boeing failed 33 out of 89 FAA audits. 33 out of 89 failures over a 6-week period.
That's a third. That's a third. That's terrible, isn't it? That's a third of okay, did you put those bolts on? We put a bolt on. How many bolts should you put on? 3 bolts. Okay, well, what about fucking hell, man? The vital components of any airplane are the wings, the engine, and the tail. We checked the wings and the tail, and they were both working. And then we stopped checking because we don't bother. Okay, well, have a nice vacation.
NBC News has not seen the slides ourselves. Spirit Aerosystems, which makes the fuselage for the Boeing plane, also failed multiple audits. And in one case, auditors saw mechanics using a hotel key card to check a door seal. Other mechanics were seen applying liquid soap to a door seal as part of the fit-up process.
It's sort of like prison hooch and stuff that you would use to administer your own recreational drug. Don't worry, I got this key card from a hotel. Don't worry, we got some liquid soap. This is Boeing. Remember how these things are talking about? Look at the branding, how slick and beautiful the word looks every time you see it. No wonder their share prices are plunging. No wonder people are dying of parking lots. It's been run as if it's the A-team with 5 Murdochs and no Hannibal. I ain't getting on no plane.
This road leads directly to the airport, Hannibal.
This road is nowhere near the airport.
As you know, we're very careful to select partners that we know you're going to love. And today I couldn't be more excited to tell you that this episode is sponsored by Hallo, the number one prayer app in the world. I know this because I use this app every single day to pray the rosary. But there are 10,000 other prayers, meditations, and musical choices often voiced by Christian speakers and actors. For example, one of the main voices on there is Jonathan Rumi. He plays Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in The Chosen, which is pretty amazing. And he was my body double when I was in Ballers, which is a good show that I loved being in. This is brilliant. Hallo has been downloaded over 4 million times in 150 countries. Hallo helps you to pray, meditate, and sleep better. It helps you build a daily routine and a habit of prayer. I mean, it's on my phone. Even before I was doing this advert, I'm listening to it every day because of Jonathan and because I'm interested in learning more about Christ and Christianity and how Christian values align with my challenges, my personal challenges, and my deep faith. And it's such an amazing app. You're going to love it. Now, check this. It's about to be the start of Lent, the 40 days that lead up to Easter in the Christian church, where we're called to give more intense prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I'm going to learn about this with Hallo. This Lent, Hallo's doing a special prayer challenge called Pray 40, meditating on this incredibly powerful book called He Leadeth Me, with the theme of surrender, trust, and hope. Who doesn't need those things? The challenge is being led by Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, that's right, that Mark Wahlberg. Jonathan Rumi, Jesus Is My Body Double, and Father Mike Schmitz, and several other faith leaders and actors and stuff. It's going to be really powerful, so I invite you to download Hallo for 3 months for free at hallo.com/brand and join me in joining the Pray 40 challenge. I've already bought the app myself. I'm not going to be able to take advantage of that offer, but you should. God bless you. Let's get back to the video.
NBC News told NBC, rather Boeing told NBC News this morning.
Get a grip. What do you think you're working, Boeing?
Quote, we continue to implement immediate changes and develop a comprehensive action plan to strengthen safety and quality and build the confidence of our customers and their passengers.
For example, we're not using those key cards anymore. This is actually a book voucher from Barnes & Noble. I still got $20 on this. I'm thinking about getting the book on how to fix airplanes one day, saving up.
And they have some work to do, Savannah.
The news seems to be implying that Boeing should just try their best. It's not a sports day where every child should get a medal for participating. This is the manufacture of airplanes. It's going to be like a rigorous standard. An undercover investigation took place to look into the standards at Boeing, and evidently things aren't going that well.
Charleston are assembling the company's flagship product, the 787 Dreamliner. But this footage reveals some have little faith in the plane they build.
Did you fly one?
No.
You won't fly one. Did you fly one of these planes?
No, not really.
Of 15 workers asked randomly, 10 said they would not fly on the Dreamliner.
That's not good, is it? Because that's literally like as if the people at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were saying, I don't think that the safety standards here are high enough. And we'll never know if they were saying that because all of the data's been deleted.
An employee captured the footage after contacting Al Jazeera to tell us he had serious concerns about what he was seeing.
At least everyone's trying their hardest, even though they don't have much faith in the product they're involved in the manufacture of. At least they're of sound mind, dedicated and focused.
In another meeting, the source told us workers are often underskilled, uncaring, and in some cases on drugs.
Oh, bloody hell.
I've seen a lot of things that should not go on at an airplane plant.
That's not a sentence you ever really want to hear, is it? I see a lot of things that shouldn't go on at an airplane plant. What, like, people are on drugs? Yeah, that qualifies.
People talking about doing drugs. Looking for drugs.
How about we get jobs flying these planes? Yeah, why not? Give it a go.
They don't drug test nobody.
I know they don't.
There's people who go out there and watch this for more than
that. Do they?
Amazing. Okay, let's get some additional detail on the sad death of John Barnett, a man who dedicated his work to safety at Boeing, and it seems that they could have done with that type of work continuing rather than a workforce that seemed somewhat unmotivated. Barnett said he uncovered serious problems with the plane's oxygen systems, alleging that one in four breathing masks would not work in the event of an emergency. If this was a casino, you'd think twice, but this is a manufacturer of airplanes. Okay, roll up. One third of the vital parts of our plane are guaranteed to not work. And one quarter of these masks won't work. So when they come down, you better believe put your own mask on first, because you might need to see if that one works. Earlier this year, Barnett appeared on TMZ to provide his take on a technical failure that saw a door fly off its hinges of a 737. A model, he said, was being victimized by recent shifts in strategy along with a 787. His warning would prove prophetic, as a 787 experienced a mid-air technical event Monday, injuring 50 passengers. Wonderful piece of bureaucratic language there. What on earth happened to your ribcage? It was a technical event. What on earth happened to that soup? A technical event. What happened to John Barnett? A parking lot. Barnett went on to charge that the incident involving the door was indicative of something greater and something alleged in his lawsuit, Boeing turning a blind eye to safety concerns in order to raise their bottom line. It's likely a problem that is present throughout systems that have such a high demand for profit, and a significant change could be made there and make many industries that are extremely powerful behave more appropriately. In January, Barnett explained why he believed both models were ticking time bombs, as both incidents remain under investigation. The only thing you want to be a ticking time bomb is a literal ticking time bomb. An aeroplane being a ticking time bomb is perhaps the most terrifying concept. I mean, I get quite scared whenever I'm on an aeroplane. There's always a bit where I go, this could crash. Excuse me, yeah, who made this? Don't say Boeing. Okay, can I have the oxygen mask now? In fact, get me four. In 2014, an Al Jazeera investigation released after the Dreamliner. Dreamliner! Whee! It flies around! Yeah, in your dreams. In reality. was briefly grounded following two battery failures, revealed that workers at Boeing's Charleston plant had serious concerns about the aircraft's safety. Boeing denied Barnett's claims at the time, insisting that he adhered to the highest safety standards. What an outrageous lie that was. At Boeing and Charleston, we adhere to the highest possible safety standards. Why, get me a key card and some liquid soap. I'll show you how safe these goddamn planes are. Is that not safe to you? I don't know. Give me a tiki torch so I can look closer. Barnett's job for 32 years was overseeing production standards for the firm's planes. Standards, he said, were not met during his 4 years at the then new plant in Charleston from 2010 to 2014. He was literally just doing his job. Okay, you're in charge of safety. Well, it doesn't seem safe that you're using hotel key cards to tighten up these screws, and there should be bolts in each of the corners of that door. You're beginning to make me sick, Barnett. One night you're going to get in a lot of trouble in a parking lot. The new leadership didn't understand processes. Brilliant, Barnett told Corporate Crime Reporter in an interview in 2019 of how brass allegedly cut corners to get their then state-of-the-art 787-8s out on time. They started pressuring us to not document defects, to work outside the procedures, to allow defective material to be installed without being corrected. That's maybe that kind of thing you could get away with if your job was, and I'm trying to think of something where you think, oh, I can't, it don't matter. Not though, definitely not, aeroplanes, where all of us, look at the way they make you go through every time you're in an airport. Take your shoes off. Someone tried to blow one of these bad boys up 20 years or so ago with a shoe bomb. Empty out your shampoo bottles. Someone tried to blow one of these bad boys up about 20 years ago with a shampoo bottle. Have you screwed the door properly? I don't know. We never checked. Boeing, which dominates the market for commercial aircraft along with Netherlands-based Airbus, has been under intense scrutiny over its safety record since two fatal crashes involving the Boeing 737 MAX in 2019. 2018 and 2019. On Monday, dozens of people suffered injuries, most of them minor, when their Boeing aircraft en route to New Zealand from Australia experienced what airline officials described as a strong movement caused by a technical event. It's a good job you don't let people with a little poetic imagination start describing that, because a strong movement caused by a technical event, if you were in it and you were describing it to your friends, what happened? Well, there was a strong movement caused by a technical event. No, really, what happened? Fucking airplane dropped like 500 foot while we're in the sky, everything went everywhere, people are screaming, you start thinking, oh my God, my mother, oh no, what have I done? Have I lived a good life? Well, that's like the reality of that. Meanwhile, the firm is now under criminal investigation for the door incident on the MAX plane this past January, during which feds will examine whether Boeing has met the conditions of the 2021 settlement reached after the fatal 2018 and 2019 crashes that killed 346 people. Bloody hell, if you're on a Boeing plane and a hijacker gets up, as long as he's got a toolkit, you might be better off. Right, I'm taking over this plane. And would you mind fixing the door? Oh, God, yeah, otherwise, you know, the whole endeavour becomes pointless. Hooray! The US Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, said last week it had given Boeing 90 days to come up with a plan to correct problems in its production and shortage procedures following an audit that identified non-compliance issues. Well, I hope no Boeing planes crash in the next 90 days, because otherwise the FAA are also going to look somewhat remiss. A separate FAA report released last month found serious problems with Boeing's safety culture, including fears of retaliation among employees with safety concerns. Being run like Haiti by like sort of gangs. Barbecue's in charge of our all safety procedures now. What's wrong with the safety? Nothing, nothing. I think that this is a very, very safe plane and I can't wait to go on vacation. In fact, do you know what? I'm going to get an RV. The negative publicity from the Alaska Airlines incident and the scrutiny of its manufacturing process has seen Boeing's share price fall 25% so far this year. That's not a good look. Boeing has spent over $150 million over the past decade lobbying Washington, employing over 100 lobbyists, over 70% of which are former government regulators, congressional staff, and even members of Congress who took new jobs with lobbying firms and private sector organizations, in many cases, they used to oversee. That $150 million would have been better spent on a tool to replace that key card, on some bolts, and whatever that soap was doing, and perhaps paying men like John Barnett correctly. And even if he did indeed, as is alleged, die by his own hand, it can't have been helpful that he spent the latter part of his life under considerable stress and pressure from an organisation seeking to discredit and destroy him because he had simply tried to do his job properly. Man, what a world. Okay, well, it seems to me that the relationships between the government and powerful organisations, particularly organisations that are involved in the manufacture of aeroplanes and weapons, needs to be scrutinised. Who's going to scrutinise it if there's a revolving door? Hopefully that revolving door is being manufactured by Boeing. They won't put the bolts on it. It'll spin around so quickly that all the corruption will just whiz off into another dimension. But for now, what we need is a little more A game and a little less A team when it comes to running Boeing. I love it when a plan comes together. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the chat. See you in a second.
No, here's the fucking news.
Someone said in the chat that putting soap around the door is in fact a viable technique to ensure that there is no air escaping. So maybe that, and that alone, is excusable. Some interesting comments. 5994, Boeing, Boeing gone. For my method, that's it. I'm parking on grass from now on. Mad influences. Dreamliner, from who? Freddy Krueger, Dracovich. What does he know? He only worked there for 30 years. Some cynicism. Yeah, just so you know, look, soap is used to test for leaks during a pressurisation test. It is an approved method. It's like using soap to find a leak in a tyre, says Mad Lad. Good point. Well done. That makes sense. That makes sense. So, let's have a look at Haiti, from a different perspective. Now, we've heard that what's happening in Haiti is that it's been overtaken by criminal gangs. And to tell the truth, even that story has some heartwarming components. The idea of gangs coming together to do things for themselves, I find that strangely heartening. But when you look at the history of Haiti, particularly in relationship to United States of America, and even more particularly in relation to the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation, it becomes a fascinating tale. Now, we're covering that in more detail later this week. Also, Charlie Kirk's coming on here later this week. You know, from Rumble, Charlie Kirk, he's coming on here. We talk about our Lord and Savior. We talk a lot about whether or not Trump is scrutinized enough from the right. We talk about the possibility of new relationships from the periphery to form new types of anti-establishmentism. It's a good conversation. It's already been on locals. Our Awakened Wonders will already have seen it. Yeah, someone's saying in the Awakened Wonder chat in response to Ashley, they use liquid soap, not dish soap. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what type of soap they were using there. The key card was the thing that troubled me most. Coat of many colours says research CIA project Gateway, Russell. We will put that on the list with the person that did the go-to person for chemtrails, Project Gateway, and we'll cover that later in the week. Let's have a look at what this is like, a fascinating insight. Amidst the many spats and contretemps that went on in the Trump v. Clinton election of 2016, there was a moment, and I don't know if any of you remember this or if you've seen it anywhere else, let me know in the chat if you had, where Trump brought up, I think he called it Little Haiti, and mentioned that the people of Haiti ain't super happy with the Clinton Foundation. In this clip, you see a lot of the grandiosity of Hillary Clinton and the kind of presumptuousness that I think defines the casual grandiosity of the establishment elite ruling class. Dionysus00, you okay, Russell? Just a sort of simple inquiry. Yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm tired. Let's have a look.
It's a criminal enterprise, and so many people know it. It's a criminal enterprise because she takes...
into the Clinton family. It's a criminal enterprise. Now, this was one of the things that was kind of dismissed as sort of typical Trump rhetoric. But listen, in a minute, we're going to have a look at some of the stuff that went on in Haiti under the auspices of the activity of the Clinton Foundation. It don't look good. It's really, really chaotic. And when you watch, say, MSNBC or CNN, hosting Hillary Clinton, and she's treated like a dignitary, isn't she? It's pretty extraordinary. Russell is dead wrong on TikTok. Dead wrong. I don't know. We'll talk about TikTok later in the week. You'll love it. It's fascinating to hear about some of the activities of the Clinton Foundation. And when MSNBC cut away from Trump, refusing to show him, it's extraordinary that they don't endeavour to examine the activities of organisations like the Clinton Foundation. It's an astonishing story. We're bringing it in more detail later this week. But I've got a few things to tell you today that you're going to love.
A tremendous amount of money. And you take a look at the people of Haiti. I was at Little Haiti the other day in Florida, and I want to tell you, they...
All right, it's a place, Little Haiti. I get it. I thought it was like he just was being affectionate about it.
Hate the Clintons, because what's happened in Haiti with the Clinton Foundation is a disgrace. And you know it, and they know it, and everybody knows
Secretary
it.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, very quickly, we at the Clinton Foundation spend 90% of all the money that is donated on behalf of programs of people around the world and in our own country. I'm very proud of that. We have the highest rating from the watchdogs that follow foundations. And I'd be happy to compare what we do with the Trump Foundation.
Amazing. In a minute, she's going to start hitting him up because he has sort of a portrait made or something. But this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Check it out. Other Clinton ventures, this is Clinton Foundation ventures in Haiti, were seen as disconnected from the realities of most people in the poorest countries. I think this is from the reports by The Nation. Is that right, Gal? Disconnected from the realities of most people in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Politico reported that many Clinton projects have primarily benefited wealthy foreigners and the island's ruling class who needed little help to begin with. For example, the Clinton Bush Haiti Fund invested more than $2 million in the Royal Oasis Hotel, where a sleek suite with hardwood floors cost them more than $200 a night, and the shops sell $150 designer purses and $120 men's shirts. Meanwhile, they didn't clear rubble up from the streets. The housing organization that they facilitated and organized, check out this. This is unbelievable. An investigation into shelters that they built the Clinton Foundation built, concluded that they were shoddy and dangerous and full of toxic mold. The Nation discovered, this is whose reporting we're using, among other things, that the temperature in the shelters reached over 100 degrees, causing children to experience headaches and eye irritations, which may have been compounded by the mould, and that the trailers that they were using there showed high levels of carcinogenic formaldehyde linked to asthma and other lung diseases. The Clinton Foundation had been subcontracted the building of the shelters to Clayton Homes, a firm that had already been sued in the United States by the Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA, for having provided formaldehyde-laced trailers to Hurricane Katrina victims. Clayton Homes was owned by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, and Buffett had been a long-standing major donor to the Clinton Foundation. It's extraordinary, isn't it, that throughout these disasters, there's this posturing of kindness and philanthropy. Meanwhile, it's ineptly executed, and it seems to me potentially to be an extraordinary opportunity for corruption. And that's just the money they spent. $450 million of the foundation's money just simply went missing. No one at all knows where it went. We'll be covering that story in more detail later this week. We've got the rest of this clip. And also, I think, watch out, Russell, they'll come for you. They've already come for me, mate. They've already come for me. Let's have a look at the rest of this. Then we'll look at Bill Clinton's actions and the impact of Bill Clinton's actions on Haiti, in particular, its agriculture.
Which took money from other people and bought a 6-foot portrait of Donald. I mean, who does that? It just was astonishing.
So that's the kind of attacks, isn't it? I like Donald Trump. He's maybe a bit vain and has portraits done and stuff.
But when it comes to Haiti, Haiti is the poorest country in our hemisphere.
I feel like I see her, like, attending a conference and getting a massive portrait, like, unveiled. I remember it. Like, it's a big green velvet curtains undone.
Here, the earthquake and the hurricanes, it has devastated Haiti. Bill and I have been involved in trying to help Haiti for many years. The Clinton Foundation raised $30 million to help Haiti after the catastrophic earthquake and all of the terrible problems the people there had. We've done things to help small businesses, agriculture, and so much else. And we're going to keep working to help Haiti because it's an important part of the American
They don't
experience.
Want your help.
Just at the end, they don't want your help. Oh, man, I miss seeing that dude debate. Are we going to get to see him debate Biden? Is that going to happen now? Oh, that's going to be good. That's going to be good TV. That's going to be good value. There, we got that to look forward to. Have a look at this. This is prior to the Clinton Foundation's interaction with Haiti. Like, when you're looking at how that nation ended up so devastated, you have to have a look at Bill Clinton's policy while in office. The former governor of Arkansas facilitated the slashing of trade tariffs, meaning that it became necessary and inevitable for Haiti to import rice, even though they grow native rice in their country. And when you consider what's happening to farmers across the world, you can see that it's part of, and I'm being a bit reductive, but you guys will dig it, a globalist scheme to disempower agriculture and our access to food so that we become dependent on centralized food resources, likely grown in monocultural conditions or grown in laboratories. Let's have a look, though, at Bill Clinton's impact on Haiti. So, as President Clinton destroyed the structure of Haitian agriculture in 1995, he forced the nation to drop tariffs on rice imported from America. Haiti dropped its import tariffs on rice from 50% to 3%. After adopting Clinton's policies, Haiti became the fourth largest importer of rice from the US, even though they were the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Most of the imported rice came from Clinton's home state, wait for it, Arkansas. Today, Haiti is the fifth largest importer of American rice in the world, even though their population is just 10 million people. So they're importing an extraordinary amount of rice. They're not growing their own food. That's, I would say, a pilot scheme for globalism. What you're seeing now is these kind of policies are being deployed in, like, advanced European nations, like the Netherlands, one of the great food producers. Of course, Ukraine. Capacity for agriculture is being massively depleted by this war, and there are agricultural protests across the world. And if you talk about stuff like that, you know, obviously you're a conspiracy theorist. Back in the 70s, Haiti imported only 19% of its food. When Haiti shut out the global markets, they were self-sufficient and managed to feed a majority of their population while producing trade surpluses. Yet now Haiti imports over 80% of its rice from the US. Due to the new trade agreements, one ton of Haitian rice is now $300 more expensive than American rice on the Haitian market. This has devastated Haiti's ability to feed itself and be self-sufficient. Haiti has 700,000 hectares of underutilized arable land, but still suffers from chronic trade deficits and food insecurity as a result of Clinton's policies. It could show them in the local chat, they're all criminals. I like this site because we could disagree and get along. Great conversations. That's the point of what we're doing here. That's the point of it, for us to find new ways of allying together. The policy was especially harmful for Haitians, considering that rice was one of their main crops. This has resulted in mass starvation in Haiti. No wonder cannibalism seems like an option. Bill Clinton decimated their ability to feed themselves. When you think about the globalists' impact on nations like India and the continent of Africa, they're still doing that stuff. They're still like, when Bill Gates turns up in Africa, you can see videos anywhere. Hey, we're going to help agriculture in Africa. How? In what way? That's why voices like the voice of Vandana Shiva are significant, and we have to pay attention to them. When people talk about planting of seeds and controlling nature itself, pretty extraordinary and pretty clear what's going on. Okay, listen, there's a few things we've got to do. Let's support our magnificent partners at Charlene's. Now, Charlene is the woman that set up this organization. This is the Orange Blossom Body Butter. I'm just going to smell this so that I'm in the right state when I, when I read this out. Oh, God, it's beautiful. These words are directly from me to you. Are you ready to delve into the realm of skincare and hear new and deep truths about a skincare gem that's as pure as sweet honesty itself? This may as well be an elixir that could solve all of the world's dermatological problems. We live in a fast-paced world. We face skepticism towards authorities, understandably and quite rightly. Uncertainty about product origins, because look at the way that the globalist establishment manages commerce and controls it. There are hidden toxins in everyday items, you know that, from your clothes to your makeup to your food, that cause significant chronic stress. Do you know that chronic stress can fast track aging, leaving you looking all old and disgusting? For example, Joe Biden is only 22. Studies show prolonged stress ramps up, inflammation breaks down collagen and messes with the skin's defenses, all leading to, yep, that's right, premature aging. That's what we got to fight. But Charlize has the antidote to life's toxins, and my number one toxic-free skincare pick are amongst this giddying range of items which we can get you a significant deal on. Most other skincare lines, they actually include carcinogenic ingredients, but not Charlize. No, oh indeed no. The entire product line is toxic free. Charlize products contain tangerine peel, which not only promotes immunity and enhances your mood, but also promotes cell turnover, hydrates and cleanses the skin, and helps improve blood circulation. Better blood flow means more nutrients and oxygen are delivered to your skin, enhancing its natural glow, promoting healthier, younger skin. Are you ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery and luminous skin? If you are, head over to charlize.beauty/brand and you'll get our 25% discount by using the promo code brand. We could put that up the whole time. That's charlize.beauty/brand and there's a promo code brand. So remember, these are our partners. We love them. Trust, transparency and self-care are the essential elements of a vibrant life. Choose Charlize and choose the path to inner and outer radiance with them. Now then, if you want to become an awakened wonder and join us, you've got to click the red button. Let's see what else we've got to talk about. Oh man, this is amazing. Let's do the WHO. So they've amended their pandemic treaty. It's pretty astonishing that they've amended their WHO treaty. So let's have a look at the amendments that they've made. So you will be aware, because you follow this stuff, that the WHO attempted to impose a treaty that gave them astonishing control over your nation and also your individual freedom. Now, because there's been a lot of pushback, there's been all manner of petitions, they've amended it. But even with the amendments that they've made, it's still a sly little document. Let's have a look. This reporting's from Reclaim the Net. Observers say the latest draft of the amendments to the treaty have toned things down, but continue to provide for expansive powers. Initially, the amendments were worded to allow the WHO to strengthen its abilities when it comes to combating misinformation and disinformation. That means that it gives the WHO the ability to censor and control. Why would the World Health Organization need that ability? Why would they need that degree of control? Why would that be necessary? Think about the pandemic era and how much many true stories and significant medical voices were repressed. You couldn't talk about natural immunity, you couldn't talk about vitamin D, you couldn't talk about hydroxychloroquine, you couldn't talk about ivermectin. Did I say that right? Let me know in the chat. There were so many things that were banned. Why? Well, because there were sort of guidelines, and what they want here is to make those guidelines essentially legislative, legally binding. So why would a health organization do anything other than make recommendations? Check this out. The other important point is vaccine passports, and which entity has the ultimate say in issuing and requiring them. On this, the WHO still wants the ability to require these, as well as recommend to nation states to carry out a number of proof reviewing exercises. These concern not only vaccine passports, but also proof of medical examinations and lab analysis, and proof of measures taken on departure or in transit. Too much control, no? Under the amendments, anyone who refuses to be examined or vaccinated can be denied entry into a country. Now, bear in mind that in New York City, there are armed military personnel in the subways now. Can you sort of start to see the various pieces of this puzzle? We're going to have to talk to people. Don't you think, like, the people that have been in this space for a long time, I'm talking about people that are really condemned and attacked as conspiracy theorists. Now you can see, look, this is the empowerment of a bureaucratic body that are totally detached from any sovereign nation. Every time I come in here, Russell is reading something. Yeah, I'm reading what you're saying right now, mind bomb. I'm reading you, man. And what we're reading here is about how the WHO treaty is being amended to still give them power of censorship and the ability to implement vaccine passports and, look, declare early action alerts and pandemic emergencies. Now, if you couple that with the presence of the military in the your country's great city, is New York your great city? You tell me, it's your country. Then what you begin to see is an extraordinary advance in power. And it's not just happening there, because in our country, the United Kingdom, are redefining exactly what extremism means. This is that Orwellian tendency to alter the meaning of words in order to facilitate more power. They never alter the meaning of words to facilitate more freedom. Do you notice that? So this is our country. And what's terrifying about this is Rishi Sunak, the current Prime Minister, and Keir Starmer, the next Prime Minister, yeah, that's President in your language, both essentially globalists. Rishi Sunak, with his strong connections to Moderna, he was an initial investor in it. We've told you that story many, many times. Keir Starmer says that he would take the WF over Parliament. That's something he's on record as having said. But if you want his credentials as a globalist and a uni-party advocate, just listen to his contribution to this debate about creating conditions of extremism everywhere. Government officials have drawn up a deeply controversial proposal to broaden the definition of extremism to include anyone who undermines the country's institutions and its values. Anyone who undermines the country's institutions and its values. How diffuse, amorphous, and confusing is that? That would mean if you said, I don't trust Parliament, you would be considered an extremist. If you said its values, if you said, I don't want our country and our tax money to be spent on foreign wars, you would be undermining the country's values. They've already begun this campaign with their condemnation of George Galloway, who had an astonishing win in Rochdale recently. I think is one of the figures that's going to participate in emergent movements around the world right now, because you are seeing figures from the left that are particularly, what do you want to say, invested in issues that can be divisive, forming alliances with people that may be their polar opposites. I understand that many people have red lines when it comes to issues to do with culture and identity, and I totally respect that. But we're going to have to start looking at new alliances if we're ever to oppose this machinery. Because to not be able to say, I don't trust Parliament and I'm against war, shouldn't be considered an act of extremism. Let me know in the chat if you agree. The proposals have provoked, well, actually, let me say this. Look, this is the next stage in its criminalisation of protests and anti-war politics. That's a significant point. The proposals have provoked a furious response from civil rights groups, with some warning it risks criminalising dissent. Obviously, that's what's happening. Consider again this in conjunction with a WHO treaty that would be able to announce emergencies that would facilitate censorship. And you might think people are, you know, oh, you're a crackpot. That would never happen. But look at the way they censored True Voices in the pandemic period. Look at how there couldn't be conversation about legitimate medicine, how you couldn't challenge the efficacy of lockdowns, the legitimacy of masks, the fact that many people in positions of power throughout my government, as a matter of fact, including Keir Starmer, avoided lockdown rules that they themselves, they didn't vote for, because there was no vote. They just said, this is what we're doing now, and everyone did it, right? And if you don't see that as a sort of potentially preparing people for different types of government, then I think, man, you've got to be careful, man. Okay, anyway, so listen, the proposals have provoked a furious response from civil rights groups, with some warning it risks criminalising dissent, and it would significantly suppress freedom of expression. One White Hall official, that's our equivalent of, say, the Capitol, said the concern is that this is a crackdown on freedom of speech. The definition is too broad and will capture legitimate organisations and individuals. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer has already extended a hand of friendship, so check it out. That's like, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans have already done a deal. This is already sewn up. Within hours of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak denouncing millions of anti-war protesters as extremists and calling a democratically elected MP a threat to democracy, Starmer leapt to his Tory opposite numbers defence. Sunak had been right, he says, to advocate unity and condemn the unacceptable and intimidatory behaviour that we've seen recently. Language has been weaponised. The law is being weaponised. Politics has been captured. Democracy, as Mike Benz commented, now means the preservation of a set of institutions. It does not mean the ability to, through the ballot box, organise, influence, control your own life or community. So this is something to be extremely cautious about, and something we'll be paying attention to and examining in more detail over the course of the week. We're going to do another 10 minutes now for our Awakened Wonder community. If you're watching us on Rumble, click the link in the description and join us over there. We're going to just have a little bit of fun, fool around a little. Remember, we do meditations over there. Remember, you get an additional video there every single week. This week it's Displacement Theory, coming up chemtrails, the sort of stuff you guys love. We're looking at in significant detail. As well as that, you get to participate when we do interviews with people like Charlie Kirk. Listen, guys, I'm off now. I'll see you later. And join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, if you can, stay free.
No, here's the fucking news.